Welcome to the Rock Church Podcast. This is Amanda. We're so glad you're joining us today. We are a church family that exists to love God, love people, and do something about it. If you'd like to learn more about us, you can visit us at rockc3.com or head over to your app store and search RockC3 for our app. This is the sixth week of our series called Grace. And this week, Pastor Clay explains how you can deal with chaos by creatively offering what you have to help build community. Enjoy the message.
Well, Rock Church, it is good to see everybody. How's everybody doing today? Awesome, awesome. Well, my name is Clay, and I'm one of the pastors here on staff, and I just want to welcome you to The Rock. I am excited for you to be here. I'm excited for everybody joining us at our online experience as well, so thank you so much for tuning in. And as you guys can tell, especially in person, I am sitting at an entirely too small of a chair and table set. I'm going to be completely honest. I'm 45% sure that this chair is not going to make it through the next 4 minutes that I'm sitting on it. So, hey, we're here. We're having a good time, and we've been talking a lot about different tables. We've been talking about a little different foods and different situations inside of this series called Grace. And today we are talking about a table that can be sometimes forgotten. And it's also might be the most important one, which is the kids' table. And the kids' table is an awesome table, but let's be honest here. When you're a kid, there comes a point where you're like, I have to leave the kids' table. I want to get away from it. I want to be at the adult table. And I think this generally happens around middle school or so. And with that, you know, you're sitting there, you're a middle schooler, and you're thinking like, man, those adults over there, they're the most interesting people in the world. They're telling these funny stories. They're laughing. They're eating foods that you don't have. They have these fancy dishware, all these stuff. And there's just a bunch of stuff going on there. And then you look at your table, and you look to your left, and you got a kid who won't stop screaming. You look to your right, you got a kid who won't stop spilling his juice everywhere. You look in front of you, you got a kid who keeps picking his belly button. You're just like, I got to get out of here. I got to get out of this table. And then there comes the day where you get invited to the adult table. You're like, I finally made it. I'm here. This is my moment. I am at the adult table. Life is good. But like when you become an adult, you realize, man, I really wish I was a kid again, right? Because at the adult table, those super interesting conversations were actually about the stock market. And then your grandma has asked you for the 47th time in the past 3 weeks while you're still single. And you're like, Grandma, I haven't found Prince Charming in 3 days, all right? Like, I just haven't had it yet. And then you know, you have this moment where your family's starting to talk about your neighbor, and you realize there's a lot about your neighbor that you did not want to know because gross. And then you sit there and you go, wait a second, how does my family know about that, right? And then someone brings up politics, then you got this whole family food fight issue, and you're like, man, I don't want to be here anymore, because you look at the kids' table, and you realize they got juice boxes. They have dino-shaped chicky nuggies, right? And you're like, ooh, those look pretty good. And then, you know, one of the kids has an iPad, because you got to have an iPad at the table, and he has the latest episode of Paw Patrol pulled up, and you're like, man, that's where I want to be at. I want to be at the kids' table, because the adult table is not as good as I thought it was going to be. And with that, I want to ask us this question. When's the last time that we sat at the kids' table and said grace? And for some of you in here, it might have been recently, but for a lot of us, it's probably been a long time since we've sat at a kid's table and hung out there. But I believe there's actually a lot that we can learn from the kids' table, and it's inside the context of a story in John 6. And this story of John 6 is really why we're talking about the kids' table. So I'm going to attempt to stand up and not break this chair or fall over or be made a meme for the rest of my life. So here we go. Thank you. This chair was not meant for 5'11", 255, and shaped like a corn on the cob, all right? It was not made for that. But hey, we made it. Inside this series called Grace, and as I tell you this story, I want you to think about this story in the context of chaos at the kids' table. So it's in John 6, and Jesus and his disciples, they're there around this body of water, and there's a big old crowd hanging out with them, and Jesus is teaching, he's performing miracles, he's doing all of these different things, and people are coming from all around to see and be a part of it, and it's this massive moment. And then there comes a point inside this moment where Jesus, he just gets kind of tired. You know, this is the human side of Jesus. And he's physically tired because he's been around this group of people all day. He probably hasn't ate anything. He's been busy. He's been working. He's been, you know, helping people out. But he's also probably pretty emotionally tired because of some things that have happened in his life at that point with some friends and some people that he was close to. So he hits this point where Jesus is like, you know, I got to go step away for a minute. So him and his disciples, they hop in this boat, they cross over the body of water, and he did that to escape, to have a moment of rest. But when he did that, that entire crowd proceeded to follow Jesus. They ended up running around the lake to get to the other side. And so now you have Jesus on the other side of this lake trying to get some rest. But all of a sudden, we have 5,000 men show up to this spot once again. But if you do some scriptural research, if you look into it, it's really probably closer to 15,000 to 20,000 people that have gotten over to Jesus, because you have to add in the women and the children. I mean, this is a lot of people. This is like a sold-out Charlotte Hornets arena, but it's the Charlotte Hornets, so that will never happen, all right? I'm sorry I offended the one Charlotte Hornets fan in here, okay? But, you know, you have this massive amount of people, and they're there to see and be around Jesus. But you have to think about it this way, too. They've been in the crowd all day, and Jesus recognizes something about them. And the thing that he recognizes about them is that they are hungry. And at this point, they're probably just not hungry. They're probably hangry. They just ran 2 miles, 2 or 3 miles around a body of water to catch back up with Jesus. How many of you guys are tough to deal with when you're hangry? How many of you, the person you're sitting next to or you're at home on the couch with, they're tough to deal with when they're hangry, right? That was an aggressive move to raise your hand. All right. But you have 15,000 to 20,000 hangry people in this moment. That is a tough, chaotic situation to deal with. And Jesus and his disciples, they're in a position where they have to make the best out of it. And Jesus looks at his disciples and he's trying to encourage them to go and do something about it. And I can picture this moment. I can see the restlessness of the people. I can see the disciples having no clue what to do. They're going, there's no way we can feed 15,000 to 20,000 people. That's impossible. I could see them being very stressed out because of this. I can see them not having much hope. Like, they're feeling like this is a hopeless situation. And what they're doing, as Jesus has called them to do, is try to make a difference in the midst of chaos. And that's the question that we're going to be hanging out on all day today. And it's, how can you make a difference in the midst of chaos? And I think this is a pretty important thing because, well, it's something we deal with at the kids' table, and it's something that we are dealing with in life. Because kids, they specialize in chaos. If you've ever taken a 5-year-old to Target, you know that the first, like, 12 minutes is good, and then you tell them they can't go down a certain toy aisle, then it sounds like they broke their leg, right? Like, they're like, ah! I'm not actually going to scream to the mic. That'd be very loud for everybody. But, like, it would be this terrible moment for them. They're chaotic. Their moods change. And then we go to middle schoolers, and don't even get me started on the chaos of middle schoolers with friendships and relationships and TikToks and all these different things, right? And it's this chaotic situation. Kids are chaotic. We jokingly call our this gen ministries controlled chaos, because we recognize that it is just a chaotic age group. Things are always shifting, things are always moving. And with that, the kids' table is especially chaotic. You have parents trying to fix food for their children. You have the children not wanting the food. You have them screaming. You have them fighting. You have them spilling. You have kids not sharing iPads. You have all these different things to create a very sometimes stressful, disorganized, difficult situation. And the things are spilling everywhere. And all this stuff is happening. And everyone's going, like, what do we do to make the best out of the situation? Because it sure seems very, very hard. And if you look at that lens, you can see that happen at the kids' table, where people are stressed out in the midst of chaos and not knowing what to do. You can see that in the disciples, in the story that we just talked about. And then we could also see that in our life. Because most of us, we've experienced chaos the past 8 weeks, haven't we? Things have been a little messy. Things have been a little chaotic. Things have been not what we are used to. And just like the disciples, you might be a little restless. You might be a little stressed out. You might not know what to do. You might feel like you're in a hopeless situation. But at the same time, you recognize there is a need that you feel like you have to fill. It's what the disciples felt. It's what the kids' table feels like. And maybe that's what your life feels right now, because you know there's a need. Maybe it's a family that you know they are just struggling right now. Maybe it's you yourself, you're recognizing there's something going on in you that you got to get fixed. Maybe it's a friend that you know is struggling with addiction. Or maybe it's your own kids. Your kids, because of the lack of organization and structure and just with everything that's going on, they're falling apart. And you're saying, man, I know there's a need right here, but I don't know what to do. I don't know what my next step is. How can I step in this season? And that is such a challenging thing, but what I love about it is that we can look at it as a problem that is just going to be a problem for all of our lives. Or we can look at it as an opportunity. An opportunity to say, you know what, here's a need. Let me figure out how to fill it. And that's why we're asking this question, how do you make a difference in the midst of chaos? Because we are all dealing with this. This is like one of the only times I can think of in the history of the world that we are all kind of in the same boat, which is an amazing thing, because we can then gather together and then go and make a difference. But to do that, we have to be a little creative. And that's where we talk about creativity at the kids' table. John 6:7, this is where we'll pick up in the story. Philip answered Jesus after Jesus asked, where can we buy all this bread? He said, 200 denarii worth of bread wouldn't be enough for each of them to have a little. Philip right there, he's saying that 8 months of wages wouldn't be enough to feed all these people. Yet God is asking him that question. Have you ever been feeling like you've been called by God to do something, but you didn't feel like you had enough of something? Whether that's courage, time, talents, abilities, opportunity. And you're going, how is this going to be even possible? But then something happens. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they for so many? You know, in looking at this story and looking at Andrew in this situation, I read that with a lot of sarcasm. I imagine him going over to Jesus and be like, hey, we got 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Yeah, well, that's going to feed everybody. I mean, like if Jesus told me to feed all you guys right now, I'd try to go find our communion bread and be like, it's just not going to work. And I'm not even talking about the type that you tear off. I'm talking about, like, the chalky little chiclet-looking piece that's real gross. Yeah, I'm just like, Jesus, it ain't going to work, man. Like, but hey, here's this offering to you. He's making a joke of it, and sometimes I joke through my problems. But Andrew's crack of a joke was actually a creative calling for this young boy. Think about it. This is a kid. This is a kid who has been around Jesus all day. This is a kid who's sitting there and has seen Jesus do all these things. This is a kid who's imagining all these great things happening. This is the kid seeing Jesus be the most popular guy in the area. Everybody wanted to follow him. Everyone wanted to be around him. This is this young boy's hero, probably. I mean, this is like if Clay Finkley saw Peyton Manning. Like the kid's just in awe. And you can start to see what goes through his mind. I mean, he's probably right there at the front because he's got young legs and he ran all the way around the body of water to catch up. And he's right there at the front. And you can see him hearing Jesus and the disciples start talking about the problem. You can picture him going, man, maybe there's something I can do to help this. You can see him stepping forward and saying, you know, maybe Jesus can perform a miracle with what I've got. You can see him going up to Andrew and be like, hey, I've got this food. And then him hearing the disciples make fun of it, crack jokes about it, be sarcastic about it. But then the young boy is called over by Jesus. And Jesus looks at the young boy and says, would you be willing to offer up your food so that people could be fed? And the boy saying, yes, here's everything. And when he does that, he hands over the food to Jesus. And then Jesus goes to work. Jesus performs a miracle. This is what it says in 10 through 13. Jesus said, have the people sit down. And there was plenty of grass in that place, so they sat down. The men numbered about 5,000, which, like we said, means 15 to 20,000 people in actuality. Then Jesus took the loaves, and after giving thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also with the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were full, he told his disciples, collect the leftovers so that nothing is wasted. So they collected them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces from the 5 barley loaves that were left over by those who had eaten. Guys, a miracle was happened right there. All it was 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, but it fed 15 to 20,000 people. And the same thing that happened for the young boy can happen for you. And the key was for the young boy was that rather than worry about what he didn't have, he simply gave over what he did have and let Jesus do the work. All he had was 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. That was nowhere near enough to make a difference in the midst of chaos. Yet, Jesus turned it into so much more than it actually was. And I believe God does the same thing with us. God has gifted each and every single one of you with a different gift, a unique talent, an ability, an opportunity so that you can go make a difference and glorify him. And you might not feel like it's much, but I promise you it can be so much more than you could ever imagine. See, I consistently see people afraid to do anything for the kingdom of God because they don't believe that they have enough to make a difference. But we have to realize it's not about what we can't do with what we don't have. It's about what God can do with what we actually do have. And I believe that God has given you something so that you can glorify the kingdom. And that's where the creativity of the kids' table comes in. You know, there is no better place to see creativity than the kids' table, because the kids' table, they just take what they have and they make the best out of whatever is in front of them. And I know there's no better example of this for me than at a middle school camp. If you've ever been to a middle school camp, you'll realize, wow, middle schoolers have not fed themselves very much in life, because they enter the cafeteria and it's like their mind is blown. So they walk in, they grab a plate, and one kid's going to grab a plate and do a stack of mashed potatoes about this high. And I'm like, bro, you're going to turn into a potato if you eat all that, all right? And like, he's just like, whatever, I like mashed potatoes, man. And I'm like, okay, all right. And then you have another kid who's like, you know what? A well-balanced meal? Nah. I'm going to have 7 Jell-O pudding pops for lunch, all right? And he's just going to work on them. You're like, oh, yeah, you do you, man. Like, you're going to have a great time. Then you have the other kids who, well, they like to entertain themselves at the actual table where, you know, they'll make all these gross concoctions of food and beverages, but some reason they drink it. So one kid's like, hey, you won't drink this hot sauce Sprite? And the other kid's like, yeah, I will. And then drinks it, and they all laugh, and they'll have a great time. I'm like, that is disgusting. Why are you doing that? And then you also have the kids who, well, they like to entertain themselves currently in the world. As some of you guys know, the TikTok is a large platform currently. And then you have all these different kids, while they're sitting there eating lunch, that they'll just TikTok during it. And it's like pop, 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 pop. Thank you. Thank you. That was not the best move I've ever pulled. But there's an evolution of that kid. So you have the kids who like to dance during while they're eating. But then you have the kids who got a plate of food, and you know they're like, you know what? I'm good. I don't want to eat. I just want to floss for 30 straight minutes. I don't need any food. 9 out of 10 dentist approve, right? And you're going, why, dude? No one's even looking at you, man. Like, it was funny for like 3 minutes, but they just do it for 30 minutes. They're making the best out of their situation. What if we had that same mentality? What if we took what was just in front of us and said, you know what, God? Here you go. What would happen to your family if you looked at God and said, God, here's my family priorities. How could God unify your family? What if you looked at God and said, God, here's my time and here's my talents. I'm going to serve in Kids Rock. How could God use you to change lives? What if you looked at God and said, God, here is my home. Make it a place where people feel like they belong. How could your neighborhood change because of that? What if you looked at God and said, God, here is my workplace. I'm turning it into my mission field. I know I'm there all the time. What could God do at your job? See, it's not that complicated. It's not this super crazy hard thing to do. It's just saying, God, here's what you have given me. I'm giving it back to you. Now, please go make a difference, because that's what it's all about. If we try to do it all on our own, we can't do it, but God can do so much more than we could ever imagine. And I'm sure this young boy, he thought he was just going to help a little amount of people, but it turned into a lot. And you might feel like you're just going to be able to help a little amount of people, but I promise you it will turn into so much more than you could ever imagine. Because when you creatively offer up what you have, it builds community. And that's especially true at the kids' table. I believe community is built at the kids' table probably better than anywhere else. Because parents are there helping out. They're cutting up food. They're getting food. They're cleaning up messes. Everybody's around them. And then, you know, the kids are being creative and they're laughing together and they're having a great time. And you have all these things together. It's this perfect example of community inside of a table. We have people pouring into other people, and you have people hanging out and having a good time together. The community is built there, and that's what happened with the boy in the story. He had a community built around him. Somebody packed that young boy's lunch. This gen needs someone to say, here are the tools for you to succeed. You know, we had Andrew speak up for the young boy. Yes, he might have been sarcastic. Yes, he might have been making jokes, but he still said something. You could speak up for this, Jen. You know, we have Jesus who saw that the young boy had gifts. He saw that he had an opportunity. And then Jesus actually went and sent him. This Jen needs people to send them to go and change the world. And I believe that this is a perfect example of what we need to do. Because community was built in this story. Because community was built around that young boy. And we can do the same thing. We need people to look at this gen and say, you know what? I know this is going to be messy. I know this is going to be chaotic. I know this is going to be a little crazy, but I am going to step in and champion you. I'm going to step in and celebrate you. I'm going to step in and send you. I'm going to equip you. I'm going to speak up for you because I know that you can make a difference in this world. What would happen in this world if that happened? See, I really believe that this gen can change the world, and they are changing the world right now. But that doesn't happen without an adult leader in their life. And just like they need an adult leader in their life, they need a coach in their life, we need that as well. See, just like we need it, they need it as well. So if you're a coach, a parent, a grandparent, a volunteer, a small group leader, I could go a million other names and titles. But this gen needs someone who will step in for them and say, you know what? I believe you can go and do this. Once they get that, once they have people celebrating them and lifting them, watch out. Because the world is going to change. And that's what happened right here in this story. You know, as we look at this last verse, it says this. When the people saw the sign he had done, they said, "This truly is the prophet who is to come into the world." People got to experience community with each other because they sat down and ate a meal together because of this young boy. But more importantly than that, they got to experience community with Jesus at this moment because they saw who Jesus really was. They saw that Jesus had compassion on them. They saw that Jesus saw their hurt. They saw that Jesus, he was willing to serve them. He was willing to do whatever it took to make them be lifted up. And then they saw that Jesus, he was a provider, that he's going to give them exactly what they need and so much more. They got to experience who Jesus was because of this young boy. And all he did was creatively offer up what he had to build community. I mean, this is one of the only miracles recorded in all four Gospels. I mean, this is a massively important one, and I think we can all learn a very simple lesson from this. Which is just, if you want to build community, creatively offer up what you have. Do you want to make a difference in the midst of chaos? Creatively offer up what you have to help build community. And that's something the world needs right now. Because for the last 8 weeks, it's been a world that's been without community. People have been separated from community. Because of that, people are feeling hurt. People are feeling angry. They're depressed. They're searching. They're wanting. They're looking. They're hungry. And when people are in that state, we've all been in that state before in some form or another. We're all currently living in that state in one form or another. There's a lot of different places we could look, but there's only one place we should look. That's Jesus. Jesus is the one that makes all this happen. But that doesn't mean that you don't have to, you can't play a part. Because you have what it takes to offer up and make community happen. You have fish. You have bread. You can be a difference maker. You can be a community builder. You can be the person that that person needed in their life. Grace happened because of this young boy. Because he was willing to look at Jesus and say, Jesus, here's what I got. Go and do something about it. Go do something with it. Go make something happen, Lord, please. And Jesus, he showed up. What would happen in this world if we all did the same? We all know there's needs. We can all see them. And God has given each of us something to go and fill those needs. And what we have to do is offer up what we have. So how do you make a difference in the midst of chaos? You creatively offer up what you have to help build community. It's not hard. It's not hard because it's just looking at you and say, hey, here's what you give me, I'm giving it back to you. That's what we can learn from the kids' table. That's what we can learn from the young boy, and that's what we really need to apply to our lives today. And it really all starts with the story of Jesus. Because if you look at the story of Jesus, it really parallels the story. Because the truth is, our lives are chaos. Due to sin, our lives are filled with chaos. Due to sin, we are broken. Due to sin, we have fallen away from God. And God creatively offered up what he had. Jesus. So that we could have community with him. So that we could have a life with him. So that could be built with us. And all we have to do is just like Jesus offered up his life for us, so we offer it back to him. And when we have that, we have community. Guys, I believe there's something we can all offer up today. Whether it's our lives or what God has given us and our talents or opportunities. And it's going to build community. So we're about to enter a time of response. And I want to say this. If you say, you know what, I want to offer up my life to Jesus today so I can have community with him. And you can text yes to 843-444-2144. If you're in here, you know, you could just have a moment at your seat and pray to God and say, God, I'm giving my life to you. If you want to take the step of baptism, we have baptism available. You stop by the Connect Corner, swing over there and just be like, hey, I'm ready to take this step. Guys, there's a world in need. It might be my world, it might be your world, it might be someone else's world. Let's creatively offer up what we have to help build community. Why don't you guys stand with me, and I'm going to pray, and we're going to enter a time of response. Lord, I'm thankful for you. Lord, thank you for providing for us. Thank you for showing up for us. Lord, I pray that we can follow the example of the young boy and offer up what we have to help build community. Lord, I pray that today we just surrender everything over to you, because you can turn what is little into so much more. Lord, help us today to learn how to make a difference in the midst of chaos. Lord, we love you. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us today. If you would like to learn more about how to give to God through The Rock, you can find that information on our app or on our website. Another way that you can give to us is simply by subscribing to this podcast, rating it, telling your friends about it. All those things are super helpful. We hope you have a great week.